Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomas. It's nice to see everyone here on this chilly morning before the snow comes and then the rain, so unfortunately. This morning we have a couple of announcements. We have the all boards need to meet because of the our annual meeting, which will be coming up, so they all need to take care of business and get their officers and all of that in. Has everybody gotten their info to you?
Yes, I got all the reports.
All the reports.
Awesome.
Did you have to go hunting for anyone?
A couple people,
okay. The directory, inside, if you have any changes to your information for our directory, like if you have a new cell phone or a new number or something you want to add or take off, please fill it out and put it in Ruth's box there. Is anyone going to talk about soup? Oh, yeah.
So we did have the craft beer cookie walk because of COVID. So instead of that, we are doing a soup fundraiser like we did a couple years ago. We did it for KICK, but now we're doing it for Women Ministries to try to make up for lack of spots. So there's an order form inside the bulletin if anybody wants to pre-order. You can also buy it the day of, but it would really help us out if you could pre-order if you want it so we know what type is going to be the most popular to get and all the ingredients for it. And the Women Ministries board is going to be making it down in the church kitchen with masks and gloves and all that kind of stuff to try to keep it as sanitary as possible. So if you want to pre-order, please fill this out and do the order form to me today or next Sunday. You don't have to prepay. You may, but you don't have to. And then the other thing is that Pastor Gary asked if we could celebrate Women Ministries all month long in February, not just one Sunday. So we are going to be having a special speaker one Sunday, but we're going to be involving more women throughout the worship service every Sunday. So we are all set now on volunteers to read scripture. But if you would like to lead the call to worship, give a testimony, lead a prayer, please see me or Pastor Gary or Pastor Ann and let us know later.
Great, thank you. In 2 weeks, we will be welcoming Pastor Tim back. Oh, please.
Use this mic. Y'all know he's coming. Pastor is coming back so we can say our formal goodbyes. So we have a book, has nothing in it yet. Many of us have had experiences with Pastor Tim that have been so special to our family that we actually have actually seen the Holy Spirit moving in the midst of all of that. Make a note. He's been here for 23 years. He's interacted in our lives. Leave a note. Leave a note for Lisa as well. It's all about how we've interacted with them over the years, how they've cared for our kids, just anything that comes to your mind that you want to be sure to let them know how powerful they were in our lives while they were here. So I'm not quite sure where we're leaving this, maybe on the table over here. So people, you can pick it up. If you don't get the book and you really want to leave a note, by all means, just write out a note. There's a little section here where you can just stick it in the flap for them. So anybody, please complete it. Help us fill it out and leave them with lots of notes to read. Okay.
Great. And you can also email or write something down to Ruth and she will include it in there at another time. The 30th, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we got 2 weeks.
Yeah, we put together, it's a farewell service. There will be a release of his services as our pastor officially through our covenant worship book. So we're going to do that service. It's not very long, but we'll do that. We have a presentation of a couple of gifts. We're also going to have a candle that we light at the start of the service that we for our service, and we present it to Tim to take to his next Elam Park where he could light it, and it's a continuation on. So we have a stuff planned, music planned, so there's a lot going into it. Does anyone have anything else that would like to share, please?
I bet you're wondering what's in here.
What's in there?
It is duck candy. Makes one bag. It's all cut. All you have to do Pastor Ann is having it cleaned up, so once we get there, we're going to be sewing bags.
Good. What is a duck bag?
It's a canvas tote bag. It's duck, they call this duck canvas.
Oh, it's not for carrying ducks or
no.
anything like that. Okay. Anything else anyone else would like to share this morning with us? Well, let us stand now for our call to worship number 3. Come this day, precious God, as people in need of your steadfast love.
With you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
We gather this day, water-changing God, as people looking for signs.
With you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
We worship this day, gifting God as people who confess Jesus as our Lord.
With you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light.
are our whole provision. You have not neglected ever a detail for our lives. Open our eyes, Lord. Not the eyes we see this world with, but the eyes that see what you are doing. Help us to gain this quietness we need so that we hear your voice and it restores our soul and spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have intervened in our lives every single time. You've not failed to be with us in good or in bad. Help us to understand what that might mean in our lives or in our families and how you want us to apply that. You are so in us, we can't negate all you've done for us, Lord. We do thank you. We give you all praise and all honor and all the glory for all of what you do in our lives. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Yep.
Good morning. Well, first we're reading from Proverbs, and there's several different verses, so I'm just going to tell you and read them. And it's from the NLT. So Proverbs 16:1, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. And if Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Proverbs 11:3, honesty guides good people, dishonesty destroys treacherous people. Proverbs 12:5, the plans of the godly are just, the advice of the wicked is treacherous. Proverbs 20:24, the Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? Now, in the NRSV, Pew Bible page 834, it's Luke chapter 3, 15 through 17, and then 21 through 22. As the people were filled with their expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, this John the Baptist, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, so clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Okay, and then 21 through 22. Now, with all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Granddaughters, and my oldest granddaughter is about flashbacked 20 or some odd years ago, sitting in my living room when my daughter was 4 years old, learning this song with Heather and Ray and a bunch of people. None of us looked the same as we did back in those days, but I remember a few people singing a song with us, and it's a song we've sung a lot of times here, but for me it's part of my daily prayer life and how I look at my relationship with God. Because I remember thinking when we learned this song, what does this mean, this open the eyes of my heart? And it took me a while to realize that the way I see the world through these eyes is always getting in the way of this relationship that I so desperately want. So this prayer, this open the eyes of my heart so that I can see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. It's such a simple line, but it's so highly personal. So what I'd like you to do is sing with us, because I know you know the song. I've done it a bunch. But what I'd really like you to do is to close these eyes and home in on the sentiment of, you know, opening the eyes of your heart. And let's see if we can glorify him a little bit.
I want to see you.
Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. This morning, we're continuing on with our sermon series, Restore. Epiphany falls on January 6th. January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas, the day you're supposed to get the 12 drummers drumming, and the day we commonly remember as the arrival of the wise men. In Europe and many countries around the world, this is a big event. Children dress up like kings and travel from door to door, much like we do on Halloween. The only difference is, instead of collecting gifts, they collect for the poor, remembering that the wise men brought gifts to the poor Christ child. I can't say that I ever remember our church celebrating Epiphany with any pomp and circumstance. The song, We Three Kings, like Rodney Dangerfield, gets no respect, as it's been taken out of our hymnal and replaced with another version. Ruth had to look back a couple of our older hymnals to find one. But with the praise team not being here in full grouping here, We Three Kings got bumped off of our playlist. Some songs just don't get any respect. And the more you look at in church history, the more you realize that we are missing a lot of things. Epiphany in the early church was one of the great feast days, second only to Easter in its importance. And any time you put the words feast days together, you've got my attention. The third feast day was Pentecost, another day which has been left out of the old hymnals. And even Easter is greatly watered down today. Easter used to be celebrated with an all-night vigil the night before, and then the celebration continued on what was called the Great 50 Days, ending with a huge blowout on Pentecost. Epiphany, Easter, and Pentecost were the focus of the church. Nobody even thought about celebrating Christmas until the 4th century. So why was Epiphany so important then? And why is Epiphany so unimportant now? For those who might have heard of Epiphany, and even fewer who actually celebrated it, chances are you will know it as the day the wise men came. And that is rightly so, partially. The word Epiphany means manifestation or revelation. So the wise men celebrated on Epiphany because they represented the revelation of Jesus to the Gentiles. But it used to be that Epiphany celebrated more than just the wise men. In the days when Epiphany was a great church feast, it also celebrated the revelation of Jesus in his first miracle, changing water into wine at Cana, and the manifestation of Jesus as the Son of God in baptism. Those three things, the wise men, Cana, and baptism, were all lumped together to symbolize the revelation of God in Jesus Christ, and such a revelation was the cause for great celebration, as it should be. Bible commentary writes that the baby was born in the manger was relatively unimportant compared with the events that proved to the world who that baby was. The authority of Jesus was validated by the signs that he performed, like changing water into wine, by the voice of God, by a descending dove at his baptism, and through signs in heavens that could be interpreted by the Gentiles. And those signs were God's way of saying, this is the guy. And Epiphany was the church's way of saying, and we can never, and it will never be the same. So why don't we celebrate, or why doesn't anything happen anymore for Epiphany? Well, there's probably several reasons, but I think one of them is that for the most part, we no longer expect it. We no longer expect God to be revealed in the midst than we expect Stopping Shop to start giving away shopping carts of free food. We just don't expect it. And because we don't expect it, we get what we expect. The early church was a church full of excitement and expectation. They anticipated the return of Jesus at any time. And this forced, as they endured this, it forced them to be aware of sometimes they actually had to die for it. They had to die for their faith. Could it be that many of us today have lost that sense of excitement and expectation? In the early church, the point of Epiphany was not to remember history, but it reminded everyone that God appears miraculously to us in places and in ways that we don't expect. If we kept remembering that God seems to thrive on the unexpected, and he appears. And if we keep expecting to see God everywhere we turn, we are not likely to miss him when it happens again. The wedding at Cana was crowded. Only a handful of people there were aware that Jesus had performed a miracle in their midst. Most weren't even paying attention except to realize that the wine was now flowing again and it was better than it was before. They weren't watching for this, and they missed the event that people have been talking about for over 2,000 years. Bethlehem was so full of people that Mary and Joseph couldn't even find a room to spend the night. But there's no indication that more than a handful of people paid any attention and even noticed Jesus' birth, the new life that changed all of history. If we want anything to manifest in our lives, in our church, we had better begin by expecting it and watching for it. If you're expecting company to come to your house, aren't you preparing for it? Aren't you cleaning the house up? If you know they're coming, aren't you checking to see if they're in the driveway or listening for the sound of their car or waiting for a doorbell or a knock on the door? You're expecting it. You're waiting for it. Yet how many of us expect God in that way? Do we prepare for God to come? For that matter, have we even issued an invitation? Last sermon, we looked at Psalm 80, where the psalmist looks at the crumbling world around him and he prayed, "Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved." That's action, that's expectation, and that is an invitation. We took action by asking, if what I'm about to do or say does not allow me or help me to worship God, then I will not do it. We take action when we don't ask for God to make things better, we ask him to make us better. We take action when we are less concerned with our circumstances as we are with our character. We take action when we pray, "Lord, restore our souls." One expectations are and should be that he will. We should expect that he will. And when I add the words prepare and expect to my closing statements from my last sermon, we will restructure. We will prepare. We will continue on for a long while working through this. But more importantly, we expect Jesus to begin revitalizing our pastors, our leaders, our deacons, and our church. What is beginning with caution and worry, we expect to be turned into celebration and worship. How many times do you prepare for your day by asking God to be revealed in your co-workers, in traffic on the way, in your working around the house, in your children, in clients and people you deal with? How many times do you prepare for church by asking God to speak to you? Speak to you in the music, in the sermon, and in the others in the congregation. How many of us honestly, truly expect a real, life-changing encounter with God when we enter these doors. I can tell you that those few who do expect such things will find them. If we don't expect God to appear or to speak or to touch our hearts, if we're not looking for God at every turn or listening for God in every voice, chances are we'll be as clueless as the guests at the wedding or the people in Bethlehem when God finally does appear. If you're looking for the signs of God's presence, they're all around us, as much outside the church as inside of it. God is in the trees and the oceans. He's in the sky. He's in the animals. He's in the birds around your house. He's even in the chipmunks and the squirrels. We expect God in the delivery room and at the funeral home. Do we expect him in the face of the homeless man sleeping on a park bench? Or the man who walks by, or person that walks by that throws a dollar into his cup? God may be sitting next to you right now in a pew. We all meet God in different ways, at different times, and in different places in our lives. Bible commentary writes, "The message of Epiphany is that the revelation of God is talking about more than a one-shot deal. It's not that Jesus came once and that was it. No, there was Easter, that bright and glorious morning when God blew the lid off of everybody's ideas of what God could and couldn't be or do. Come Easter morning, all bets were off. The tomb was empty, and God was on the loose. He appeared and disappeared out of rooms. He was now here, and then he was there on a beach having breakfast. And then he was walking with the disciples who had no idea or clue who they were talking to. The message of Epiphany, expectation, action, and Easter. It's that God is not dead. He is not dried out. He is not stuffed into your Bible somewhere around the Psalms. God is alive and kicking and manifesting here, there, and everywhere in the hopes that somebody will just check in and listen. The God who was made manifest in Jesus of Nazareth lives and was made manifest somewhere, somehow, in your home this very morning. The God that was calling you in the last, he was in the last song. And it's the same God that will be revealed anytime and anywhere. The message of Epiphany is keep watch, for you don't know the day or the hour that he will appear. Other than Proverbs, I don't think anyone is really quoted as much as Ben Franklin. Glenn will like this one. A balanced diet is a cookie in each hand. A bulldog can whip a skunk, but sometimes it's not worth it. A clean house is the sign of a misspent life, and a clear conscience is usually the sign of a bad memory. A closed mouth gathers no feet. And a husband is someone who takes the trash out and gives the impression that he's just cleaned the whole house. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. A woman must do what he can't. Bible commentary states that the book of Proverbs is a book of moral and ethical instructions dealing with many aspects of life. The teaching in the book guides its readers to how to lead a wise, godly life, and how to avoid pitfalls of the unwise and the ungodly. The Bible refers to Proverbs as sayings of the wise in Proverbs 24 and sayings and riddles of the wise in Proverbs 1:6. Proverbs 1:6, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer, action and expectation. Proverbs 16:9, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps, action, and expectations. Proverbs 11:3, honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. That's expectation. Proverbs 12:5, the plan of the godly are just. The advice of the wicked is treacherous. Expectation, praise God. Proverbs 20:24, the Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? Expectation and faith. The Proverbs, like all scriptures, are from God. They show us something of the compassion of God, that he cares enough about us to give us such careful instructions for obtaining and practicing wisdom. He does not want us to live our life foolishly. He doesn't want us to make foolish decisions. We should seek earnestly to develop our behavior and attitudes as we grow in grace and in knowledge and we learn in Lord Jesus. And one way we can do this is to embrace with understanding his teachings and his wishes for us in our own life, and by allowing him to direct our path and establish each step that we take by inviting him into our daily lives. God does give us free will to make choices in our own life, but a wise person invites God to guide them. Now, Paul was a man who often spoke of his plans to visit certain churches, and he wrote about them and the goals that he wanted to achieve. But Scripture shows us that although Paul made many good travel plans and he proposed in his heart to visit certain churches, it wasn't all accomplished because the Lord would direct his path. In one occasion in the book of Acts, where we read where Paul's plans were rearranged by the Holy Spirit when he received a call from God to forego his previous developed arrangements and go instead to Macedonia. Paul's plans were worthy and worthwhile, but God had ordained that he should change them and go and share the gospel with the people elsewhere. Sometimes the goals we set are too limiting or too limited, but God will bring us to the place of fulfillment that we could not have made on our own if we live a life and trust in his guidance. He will bring us to a place that he knows best, not only in this world, but in the eternal ages to come. James pointed out the folly of setting your own future plans in stone by making arrogant claims about what we will do in the future. Rather, we should express our future plans by saying, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. We should embrace this statement as fact, as a promise of God to each one of us, and rejoice that the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Or the mind of our church plans its way, but the Lord directs our steps. If the Lord wills, we shall do this or we shall do that. Our goal should be to focus and live with grace, willing, and the loving spirit. Our God is here to be encountered. How does he see you? How does he see us? Sitting beside us in the pew, in the sacrament of communion, in the scripture reading, in our offering, from the songs we sing, to the prayers that we pray, or to the amazing sermons that are preached. The ultimate purpose of all of this is to provide a place where it's easier for people to experience the epiphany of God, a time that is structured in such a way as to encourage us to open our eyes and to see the God who is here in our midst. And as we wind our way through Epiphany, through Lenten season to Easter, let God become the whom in your life. I love the story of the woman driving through the mountains in West Denver when she ran into a huge snowstorm. She was completely lost. And as she looked ahead, she couldn't see anything. And she finally saw some lights, and she creeped up to it, and it was a snowplow. She decided she was going to stay as close to that snowplow as she could. And she followed that snowplow for a long while. At times, the snow would be blowing. It would almost cut her view off, but she faithfully kept on following that leading truck. After some time, the snowplow stopped. And the driver got out and walked over to her, and he said, "Lady, where are you going?" And she said, "I'm on my way to Denver." And he replied, "Well, you're never going to get there following me. I'm plowing a parking lot." Oh. in order to get to our destinations, we need to make sure that we're on the right road. And we need to follow the one who longs to give us direction in our life. Make space in your life to have a real encounter with God. It might be here, it might be anywhere, but expect that it will happen. Get up in the morning wondering where it will come, and go to sleep at night listening for God's voice. Read your Bible expecting to hear God, and come to communion open to receive him. God will, I promise. Amen. Now we come to the time for our prayers. I will leave it open at the end for you to join in. Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning that your mercy, you have brought us wise men, led by your light, the miracle of water turned into wine and the baptism which gave us Jesus' holiness in exchange for our sin and impurity. Thank you for our parents who brought us up in your faith. Thank you for those people in our lives who you used to bring us the gospel. And thank you for all the pastors and teachers that have led us along our path. We pray for all your people, that the good news of Christ will be proclaimed and heard throughout the world, and that many will believe and be baptized. We pray, Father, you have mercy on those who are in need, those who are struggling because of domestic violence, those who are breaking down through this COVID and all that's going on in their lives, those who are suffering from harmful behavior, and those who are in hurting relationships. We pray for your healing power, your restoring power, and your renewing power, dear Lord. Father God, we pray for those who suffer from pains and sorrows. We pray for those whose hearts are broken. We pray for those whose families are fractured, and those whose lives have been affected by war, those who are struggling with poverty and starvation. We pray that we see that, Father. We pray that we just don't pass by it. That we pay attention. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father God, many of them are being martyred and tortured for their beliefs. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for pouring your spirit on your son and pouring your spirit out on us. We pray for our church family, for those that are sick and disabled, and those that are in the hospital. Father God, we lift up Gary Butler as he prepares for an upcoming knee surgery. And we lift up to our family all those that are still dealing with COVID. We pray for our elderly. And Father God, we lift up Eugene Sleeper McMahon and his family as he passed this week, Father. We lift up everyone in our family who is already sick of winter and the cold that it brings. Now, Father, we open it up for your prayers. Heavenly Father, so many prayers that are said quietly. So many prayers that are meant but not spoken. Father, we lift them all up to you. You show your great love and salvation in the baptism of your Son. Accept our prayers, the prayers of your children, in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us join together now in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's now sing hymn number 579 as we remain seated.
Lord, we thank you that we come to our offering time, a time that tells us that we as stewards have been given so much, Lord. Help us to understand what that means to you and not just in our world. It's so different in your kingdom. Help us, Lord, as we support you in your kingdom. Blessing back to you from what you have given to us. How sweet that is. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise for our doxology.
Christ our Lord, have mercy.
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 now believing that God is guiding us. Let us go now believing that God cares about you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to be in your life. Greet those around you. Join us downstairs as we saw the women heading down to get everything ready for us. The grass withers and the flowers fade. The word of our Lord endures forever. Go in his peace. Amen.
Amen.